If you are living in a strata complex right now, assuming the Council of Owners has this absolute godlike power to deny your request for a pet.
You definitely want to pull up a chair for this one.
Yeah, because a decision just came down from the State Administrative Tribunal of Western Australia that, well, it essentially takes a sledgehammer to the concept of the blanket ban.
It's a massive decision.
Right. So today's deep dive is into this specific legal battle. It's DT versus the owners of Civic Square Apartments.
Decided on February 27, 2026.
And we are unpacking how a general no-dog policy actually holds up against the law, what makes a strata company's behavior legally unreasonable, and honestly, just how insanely detailed a plan you need to get a puppy approved in a high-rise.
Because this isn't just a legal case, it really is a masterclass in how to outmaneuver a bureaucracy that is, trying to say no before you've even finished asking the question.
Exactly. It is a story about forensic preparation. So let's look at the stakeholders.
Yeah.
In one corner, you have the applicant, who we'll call DT.
She's a psychology and criminology professional.
Right, working with children and child protection. And she has diagnosed ADHD and anxiety. She wants a golden retriever puppy.
Specifically, to eventually train as an assistance animal.
Yes. And in the other corner, you have the respondent, the Council of Owners for Civic Square Apartments, which is this high-rise complex on Beaufort Street in Perth.
And their core conflict is so common. DT bought the apartment believing she could apply for a pet, but the council has this general no dog policy.
Right? And she didn't just ask nicely. She basically prosecuted her own application like it was a capital murder trial.
She really did. And that's the key for anyone listening. She didn't win just because the tribunal likes dogs. She won because she made it legally unreasonable for the strata to say no. She trapped them with their own logic.
So let's look at the actual refusal, the no. DT buys this apartment and she applies for the dog on November 1st, 2025. That's actually before she even moves in.
And they rejected it 2 days later.
So fast. And then she asks for a reconsideration after she officially becomes an owner on November 11th.
And she was refused again unanimously.
Yeah.
Unanimously. And this is where most people would just give up, right? You get the email and says, we have no dog policy. And you think, well, those are the rules.
But DT actually looked at the reasons they gave, and they were extensive.
Extensive and, frankly, slightly unhinged. I was reading the minutes from the refusal meeting, and it feels like they were just brainstorming every possible catastrophe that could involve a dog.
No, it was a total laundry list approach.
Yeah. They listed their policy, obviously, but then they went into hygiene, saying waste disposal in the bin rooms would cause odors. They brought up physical safety.
Claiming the elevators are dangerous for dogs because leashes could get caught.
And that the hallways were too tight.
Right.
But my absolute favorite, and we have to talk about this, is the altitude argument.
It is wide.
Point number nine in the refusal minutes. The council actually claimed that high-rise living could cause altitude sickness in dogs.
In Perth.
Right, in Perth. Unless Civic Square Apartments has a penthouse in the actual stratosphere, I am pretty sure the air pressure on a residential floor is fine.
It really paints a picture of their mindset, doesn't it? The tribunal member, Mr. T. Carey, he pointed this out. When a strata council starts inventing medical conditions like apartment-induced altitude sickness,
It suggests they aren't actually considering the application at all.
exactly. They're just grasping for any reason to justify a decision they've already made.
And they brought up carpet shedding, fleas in the hallways. They made all these assumptions about the dog's behavior, like it would bark or have separation anxiety because it couldn't create distance from triggers.
And that's where it got personal, not just objective.
Yes. Let's introduce the chairperson of the council, Ms. Delma Davies. Her testimony was really revealing.
Because she didn't just rely on that altitude science. She admitted she wouldn't get in an elevator with a fully grown golden retriever based on her own experiences living in Indonesia.
She had a personal phobia. She felt animals were unpredictable.
And she projected that fear onto a golden retriever puppy in Perth, which is a crucial distinction in strata law. You have the objective reality of the actual dog, and then you have the subjective fear of the council member.
She even accused DT of weaponizing her health condition. She actually said DT was using her ADHD to force a puppy into the building.
Which is a really heavy accusation. They viewed this as a resident trying to cheat the system, but because they were so focused on that, they missed the fact that DT had practically solved every single objective problem they raised.
So let's talk about the yes. Let's talk about DT's master plan. The dog itself is a purebred golden retriever puppy, specifically chosen for its temperament. Quiet, easy to train.
And her goal was an assistance animal. though she was very honest and admitted it wasn't certified yet.
But the plan she submitted, the assistance dog training and development plan, the level of detail was incredible.
It's the part that won the case. If you're a learner listening right now, pay attention to this level of preparation.
She had a structured training timeline starting in December 2025. Puppy classes, a foundational skills course, a partnership with Perth's animal training specialists.
And she addressed the hygiene issue perfectly. The strata said, we don't want waste in the bin rooms because of the smell.
So DT buys a $500 porch potty premium.
A self-draining real grass system for her balcony to completely avoid using common areas for toileting.
Literally removing the common property from the equation. She argued, the dog goes on the balcony, I clean it immediately, and I put the waste in my own internal bin, not the strata bins.
And by doing that, she set a legal trap. If the strata denies the application based on smell in the bin room, but she is proving the waste will never be in the bin room, their refusal becomes completely irrational.
She did the exact same thing with the shedding and the carpet concerns. She subscribed to a groomy de-shedding vacuum system.
And committed to professional grooming every 2 to 3 months.
She even subscribed to odorless premium food.
I didn't even know odorless premium dog food existed.
Right. But again, it's a tactical move. And for behavior, she stated the dog would never be left alone. Her partner or parents would help manage it.
She even brought in an expert witness, Miss Charlotte Smithson.
A veterinary nurse and assessor.
Exactly. Miss Smithson performed a desktop audit of DT's plan and legally vouched for it as robust and credible.
So the tribunal is looking at this. On one side, a counsel talking about altitude sickness and elevator phobias. And on the other, a forensic plan backed by an expert, a $500 grass toilet and odorless food.
But even with all that prep, it still comes down to the law.
Yes. Let's dive into the legal side, the actual decision. This is where the strata really dug their own grave with their general no dog policy.
It's a huge misconception in apartment living. They thought their policy overrode the actual bylaws.
Let's unpack bylaw 15. The rule actually says a proprietor must apply for permission. And then it says the council may approve it, provided the pet doesn't interfere with the quiet and peaceful enjoyment of others.
And the strata argued that the word may gave them total absolute discretion to just say no.
But the tribunal member, Mr. Carey, interpreted it completely differently. He ruled that bylaw 15 actually creates a bias in favor of approval.
Right. If there is no interference with peace, the default answer should be yes.
So the tribunal busted the myth of the blanket ban. You cannot have a general no-dog policy that overrides the discretion required by the bylaw.
The member actually noted that the council's interpretation would sound the death knell to any pet application.
Which brings us to defining the word unreasonable.
Yeah.
In law, they use a standard called Wednesbury unreasonableness.
From an old English case, it basically means acting in a way that is not guided by reason at all. It's a decision so absurd that no sensible person could have made it.
And the tribunal found the strata acted with Wednesbury unreasonableness here because they ignored the applicant's detailed plan entirely in their decision minutes.
They relied on a policy that illegally fettered their discretion.
And their reasons were totally speculative. They assumed there would be allergies without any evidence. They claimed altitude sickness.
They essentially ignored the facts in favor of their bias.
We also have to mention the credibility issues during the hearing. The strata manager, Mr. Clifton, and the chairperson, Mrs. Davies, tried to dodge responsibility for the rejection email.
Oh, that was embarrassing.
The member described it as descending into farce. They were pointing fingers at each other about who actually gave the directive to send the refusal.
It just highlighted how indefensible their position was.
Now let's look at the verdict and the conditions. The tribunal ruled the dog is allowed.
A huge win.
And they discussed the disability factor. The member noted DT likely qualifies as a person with a disability under the Disability Discrimination Act.
But the crucial thing is, the case was won on the standard bylaw. The strata's lawyer actually tried to cross-examine DT about her disability, and the member shut it down.
Called it inappropriate.
Right, because she didn't need to prove her disability to win. The strata's refusal was unreasonable regardless.
But the battle wasn't totally over. Once the strata realized they were losing, they proposed conditions for the dog to stay. 35 conditions.
35.
Including a rule that if anyone in the building ever gets an allergy, the dog must leave immediately.
Which the tribunal rightly rejected as oppressive and prolix.
Prolix. Such a great word. Just tedious and wordy.
Because if you accept that allergy condition, you live there for 3 years, someone new moves in, sneezes, and you have to evict your family pet.
It's completely unworkable. So the final orders were stripped down to reasonable conditions. First, must follow the training plan.
Second, cannot use common bins for waste.
And third, must address any complaints or damage immediately.
That's it. Reasonable, enforceable conditions based on DT's own plan.
So as we wrap up, what is the summary here? This case is a massive warning to strata councils.
You cannot hide behind a blanket, no policy.
Right. You must judge every single application on its own merits. You cannot ignore a well-thought-out plan just because you personally don't like dogs.
And for the listener, if you want a pet in an apartment, be like DT. Don't just ask nicely. Provide a forensic level of detail. Training, waste management, hygiene.
Make it legally unreasonable for them to say no. Overwhelm them with your competence.
Force them into a corner where the only reasons left to reject you are things like altitude sickness.
Exactly. And that brings us to a final provocative thought for you to mull over. The council chair said she wouldn't get in a lift with a golden retriever.
Her personal phobia.
Right. In a world of increasing high-density vertical living, at what point does a personal phobia become insufficient grounds to restrict the property rights of your neighbor?
It's a huge question. As cities grow, the legal ground for banning normal activities just because someone is uncomfortable is definitely shrinking.
The standard is interference, not discomfort. You can be uncomfortable, but you cannot be unreasonable.
That is the big takeaway.
So go start drafting those 50-page puppy training manuals. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.